Trebia looked at her. "Ah, well," he said, sotto voce, "I took the liberty of mentioning to the Twi'leks before the game what happens when Wookiees lose such entertainments." Leia looked blankly at him. "You recall what Master Solo said about pulling arms off?" Leia shook her head. Han had been teasing Freepio with that comment. Chewie was fierce enough in battle, but actually very even-tempered. She hadn't ever believed that arm business, though it appeared the Twi'lek did. If Black Sun didn't show up pretty soon, she was going to develop a bad case of ship fever cooped up in this place. Guri sat across the table from three others. Two of them were men. One was a Quarren. Behind her, a pair of Gamorrean bodyguards stood watching. Guri was unarmed. "Your sources are mistaken," one of the men said. That was Tuye, the chief operating officer of Aurora Transportation. A fitness buff, he bulged with muscle even under his expensive tailored Zayd cloth suit. Supposedly, he could squat holding four times his own weight on his shoulders without breaking a major sweat. He did not look happy. In fact, he looked as if he was about to burst a blood vessel. "Are they?" Guri said. She slouched in the chair, looked totally relaxed. "M. Tuye is correct. Aurora would not presume to contend with Black Sun." That from Dulles Yull, the squid head and chief of security for the organization. The other player, a thin, short, and nervous man, nodded his assent. "No, of course not. We would never tread in Prince Zizor's territory." This was Z. Limmer, the chief financial officer. "So," Guri said, "I should tell Prince Zizor that this was all a mistake, that our agents are idiots who couldn't find their backsides with both hands?" "I would not put it precisely so," the Quarren said. Tuye looked at the other two sitting next to him and snorted. "Sack this scat. I'm done playing doormat to your boss. Yes, tell him that your agents are idiots. Tell him that he is an idiot. Aurora isn't quaking in fear of the terrible and mighty Dark Prince. We're out on the rim here, a long way from a soft bed and the decadent pleasures of the Imperial Center, where Zizor feathers his nest with our tribute. We earn our way here. We deserve every deca cred we collect. Tell him if he doesn't like it, he can come out here and do something about it." Limmer swallowed and went pale. I think perhaps what M. Tuye means to say is... "Shut up, Limmer, you little revel worm. Don't try to sweeten it." Tuye glared at Guri. "Go home, little girl. Leave now while I still permit it. And don't come back. You do, and I might find a use for you you wouldn't like." He grinned, and it was a wicked expression. Guri smiled and stood, still looking as if she'd just awakened from a long nap. When she moved, it was incredibly fast. She hopped up onto the table, threw a front somersault, and landed behind Tuye, spun and picked him up, chair and all. Then she threw him at the two Gamorrean guards before either could clear his blaster. The impact knocked both of the pig-like aliens flat. Dulles Yells pulled a small blaster from inside his tunic, but before he could line up, Guri grabbed his wrist, broke it, and removed the weapon from his hand. She tossed it aside, grinning. Limmer tried to stand, and she speared his throat with her fingertips. Paused long enough to twist Yull's neck until it cracked like a wet branch breaking, then leaped over the table. Tuye came to his feet and turned. Guri grabbed him around the throat as he did the same to her. For a moment they stood there locked in stasis. Tuye crumbled, his face full of horror at her strength. He lost consciousness as the blood was kept from his brain. Guri dropped him, reached down, pulled the blaster from the belt of one of the stunned Gamorreans, then used it to shoot both the bodyguards, one bolt each in the head. She hopped up onto the table and down next to Limmer and Yells and shot each of them at the base of the skull. Then she returned to where Tuye lay trying to breathe through his bruised throat. She squatted next to him and waited until he came to and looked up at her.
"I'll tell Prince Zizor what you said."
She smiled and almost carelessly shoved the blaster against Tuye's left eyeball and pulled the trigger. Then she stood, walked to where a hidden security wall cam recorded the entire scene, and ripped the unit out of the wall. The picture went black.
"Stop the recording," Zizor said.
He sighed and shook his head. The recording showed him what he already knew. Guri was the deadliest weapon in his arsenal. He wondered how she would do in a one-on-one against Vader. Probably better than he would, though he was fairly certain that Vader, who had hunted down and killed Jedi adepts, could take her. Even so, it would be interesting to watch. And at 9 million credits, a very expensive entertainment, should she lose. "Run it again," he said. He did love to see a professional at work. 16. "So where is Leia?" Luke asked. He and Dash had returned to Ben's, each on a swoop. The two swoops were under the Kama tarp with the X-Wing now. Dash's ship was in Mos Eisley at the port. "Gone to Rodia to connect up with Black Sun." Luke nearly dropped the container of cold water he held.
"Black Sun, is she out of her mind?"
Dash smirked. "Oh, you're an expert on them, are you?"
"No, but I talked to Han a lot while we were cooped up on Hoth during the cold, stormy nights. He had dealings with them. He said they were more dangerous than the Empire."
He paused a second.
"Why would Leia want to contact Black Sun?"
Dash shrugged. "Got me. Maybe they might know who wants you dead. The princess is fond of you, so I can't see why. You gonna hold on to that water until it evaporates?" Luke glanced at the forgotten container.
"Oh, sorry."
He handed the water to Dash, who poured himself a large cup, then drank noisily from it. The idea of Leia fooling around with a vicious underground criminal organization didn't sit well. Still, what was he going to do about it? She was a big girl. She'd been taking care of herself okay before they'd met. Well, if you didn't count getting captured by Vader. Sure, he and Han and Chewie had rescued her from that, but they hadn't exactly covered themselves with glory doing it. They had covered themselves with a stinking effluvium in that garbage pit. "So what's the drill, kid?"
"Huh?"
"We gonna sit around here and wait for them to come back? Or you maybe want to go ask the Hutt why he sent that comedy troupe out to zap you?"
"Jabba's got no reason to be after me."
"Unless somebody put him up to it. That's why I'm here, remember? Since it's nice and quiet, I could teach you how to fly those swoops right."
"Listen, they'd have never caught me in Beggar's Canyon."
R2 began whistling and beeping frantically.
"I don't like the sound of that," Luke said.
"What is it?" Dash said.
"Something outside, sounds like. We'd better go see."
R2 beeped again. Dash pulled his blaster and checked the charge reading. Luke reached down to touch his lightsaber to assure himself it was still hanging from his belt. R2 chirped and rolled toward the door. Outside, they saw the fire of a breaking rocket high overhead.
"Looks like a message droid," Luke said.
R2 seemed to affirm that. Dash blew out a breath and reholstered his blaster. Message droids weren't something you had drop in on you every day. They were used when fast delivery was needed and you didn't want to risk the holonet and its relays, but they were expensive and good for only one shot. Unless you had a new booster lying around, you couldn't reuse them. R2 whistled again.
"That's awfully fast. I hope they shockproofed it," Luke said.
Dash had already started for the door. Outside, the incoming vessel, tiny as it was visible as it fell toward the desert floor half a click away. "Who knows you're here, kid?" Luke shook his head.
"Leia, Lando, Chewie, 3PO.
"And Jabba," Dash said. "Though I don't think he'd spend the money for a droid when he could make a local comm. He wanted to talk to you. Not to mention kill you."
"Maybe it's for you," Luke offered.
"I doubt it. I don't leave forwarding addresses. Nobody knows I'm here except your friends, and they have no reason to call me." Luke watched as the little message ship plummeted. It began firing retros and slowing, but it was still coming down pretty fast. The droid must have underestimated the gravity or something.
Maybe it was for Ben.
Somebody who had been out of touch for a long time and didn't know he was gone. The message carrier hit hard enough to splash sand and make a noise they could hear 500 meters away. "Let's go see," Dash said. Luke ground his teeth. He started to say something about giving orders, but held himself in check. Jedi Knights were supposed to be even-tempered. He'd have to work on that. They started toward the ship. In his inner sanctum, Zizor awoke from a light doze to the sound of his personal and private comlink speaking his name softly.
"Incoming call for you, Prince Zizor."
Was that his imagination, or did the Vox chip slur his name as the chair he'd replaced had done? Nothing lasted these days. Everything started to break down before it was properly broken in. The Empire was going to entropy in a turbolift. Put it through, and do a self-diagnostic on your Vox chip. The small-scale holoprod flowered on his desk. It was one of his local spies. Yes? You asked me to inform you when Lord Vader returned to his castle, my prince. He has just arrived. The Dark Prince nodded. Good. Maintain normal surveillance procedures. The spy nodded and broke the connection. His image blinked out. So, Vader had returned from the wars, having unwittingly done Zizor's bidding by hitting Aurora where it hurt the most, in the credits balance. Along with Guri's little demonstration to the ranking officers, Aurora would be well-behaved, at least in the near future. Best he not call on Vader just yet. Doubtless the Dark Lord of the Sith needed some time to cool down a bit from the slap on the hand the Emperor had delivered. Vader's main problem was that he allowed his temper to rule him. A legacy of his mammalian heritage. It was that way with many species and detrimental nearly always. Cold allowed precision. Heat threw caution aside and plunged in rampantly. Cold was the process of deliberation and planning. Heat, the result of unbridled passion. Passion was fine, but only when controlled and channeled properly. Take Princess Leia, for instance. She attracted him, but he would bring her to him slowly and with care, not in some wild chase in which he cast off his intellectual moorings and sailed out on the sea of lust. Ah, no, that was not the Fahlene way. The Fahlene way was cold. Cold was better than heat. Always. Darth Vader watched the spy via the holocam hidden at the top of a street-cleaning droid. The droid moved down the avenue like a giant mechanical snail, leaving a trail of cleanliness behind it instead of slime, washing the hard road with powerful jets and ablutants that caused the surface to sparkle. Zizor's spy sat at an outdoor food bar, pretending to read a hard-copy news fax as he dawdled over a hot drink long gone cold. Vader sighed and waved the picture off. This was such a convoluted business, all this spying and intrigue. True, he had learned the game. He played it well, as one must to live on this world, but he did not enjoy it. Men like Zizor and the Emperor took pleasure from their manipulations, but Vader always felt soiled when he mucked around in all this double-dealing and triple-crossing. He was a warrior, and as such, he would prefer to plant himself in the path of an advancing army alone to all this smiling to his face while plotting an enemy's ruin, which was the political core of Imperial Center. Striking a man down with your blade was clean and honorable. Shooting him in the back from the darkness of an alley and hurrying to blame it on another was something else altogether. He turned away from the monitors. Yes, he could do it, and yes, it was necessary. Still, he did not have to like it. Sooner or later, he would have the evidence he needed against Zizor. The more tangled the web, the more likely it was that the weaver would eventually trap himself in it. Sooner or later, the man would make a fatal mistake, and when he did, Vader would strike Zizor down and explain why to the Emperor afterward. There was a thought he enjoyed. The message droid, a compact, rounded box with an anti-grav unit that allowed it to hover and move a couple of meters off the ground, was apparently undamaged by the delivery vessel's hard impact on the desert. The box, half the size of R2, floated in front of Luke and Dash now in Ben's house. It didn't look damaged, but something must have rattled loose inside it. "I have a message for Princess Leia Organa," it said for the fifth time. "How many times do I have to tell you she isn't here?" Luke said. "R2, can you talk to this thing?" R2 moved closer to the droid, whistled and beeped rapidly, and ended by flashing lights from its holoprojector at the thing. There was a pause as some system adjusted itself inside the droid. "I am empowered to deliver the message to an authorized representative of Princess Leia Organa in her absence," it said.
"Now we're getting somewhere," Luke said. "Tell me, I'm her, authorized representative."
He grinned at Dash, who shook his head. "Password?" the droid asked.
"Password? What would Leia use as a password? Luke Skywalker.
That password is incorrect. Dash laughed.
Han Solo?
That password is incorrect. We could be here a real long time while you rattle off all the names you know, Luke.
Shut up, will you? I'm thinking.
Wouldn't want to interfere with that, would we? Luke did think about it. It had to be something simple, he figured, something Leia wouldn't forget. What was the first thing that came to mind when he thought about her? Forget that.
Alderaan?
Password correct. A sliding plate on the droid moved and exposed a holoprojector. After a second, a holoproj blinked on. A short, long-haired, bearded boffin stood there, dressed in a forest green overtunic, pants and boots, a long military-style blaster strapped to his waist and right leg.
Greetings, Princess Leia. Koth Meelan here, speaking to you from my homeworld of Bathawi. Our spy network has uncovered information vital to the Alliance, and the nature of these data are of such significance as to justify sending this messenger droid. You must come to Bathawi immediately. I cannot overemphasize the importance of this information or the urgency. Time is of the essence. I will be at the intergalactic trade mission for 5 days. The Alliance must act in that time or the information may be lost.
The projection shut down.
End of side 3. To continue, turn the cassette over.